Hey, America!
Start listening now!
Hello.
All right, morning, guys. Today we decided to record this at 8:30 in the morning. Just for fun. Just as a nifty little experiment. Oh, sorry, one moment. I think the milkman is here. Wait, no. It's the milkshake man.
And welcome to another milky episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America. I can tell you want a taste of America. I'm Eric.
I'm offended.
Yeah.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
I already wish I hadn't said that. That was...
Yeah, it's just awkward. It's
tough. It literally is like, I don't know, it's not exactly dawn here, but it is still like wake up and sip
the
coffee
mode.
I don't need. I don't need something milky right now.
No, not even a little bit of oat milk, you know.
Could maybe some. It has to be half and half. A little cream, maybe.
Ooh, I've been doing sweetened condensed milk in my coffee in the morning.
Christ,
no,
for real?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get a can. I get like a little squeezy thing of it from the Asian market, and it's okay. My milk and my sugar all in one little thing, and it stays in my fridge for longer. It's brilliant. I don't know why haven't been doing this for years. This is the enlightened discourse that people tune into our podcast for. By the way,
the enlightened discourse. Sam, hit him with the socials.
Yeah.
Hey.
Boom.
Again, y'all can find us on the standard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA, or just email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise over on our Redbubble page, or you can support us with a one-off donation on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi, or a sustained monthly recurring donation on our Patreon account. Whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way. Thank you for listening, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. We also want to thank our newest patron, Emilia Peidu. Thank you so much for joining the family. We really appreciate it. Depending on when this episode airs, a friendly reminder to our patrons to make sure that you send in your ballots for this year's list of songs. Let us know your thoughts, and that's just one of the benefits of getting in on the Patreon. We will include your votes on an upcoming episode of our review show. So we have an incredibly special guest joining us today. There are only a handful of people who one can say that they've been on a Eurovision stage, have also done national finals for another country, indeed, have hosted national finals, have been in a part of commentating and hosting preview events, and just being a beloved part of the Eurovision community, calling us from Amsterdam, but her heart in Finland. Krista Siegfrieds, welcome.
Thank you. Really nice to be here.
so happy to have you here. For those folks who don't know who you are, and one, have they been living under a rock? And two, a quick rundown of your biography, of where we might know you from.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's like you said, I think then most people that listening to this podcast will know me from Eurovision Song Contest when I represented Finland back in 2013 with my song Marry Me, where I kissed the girl in the end of the show and got Europe, half of Europe, really upset. So I think I'm most famous for that, but I have absolutely no regrets. You know, it was at that time the right thing to do. You know, Finland was at that time voting for, are we gonna allow gay marriage in Finland? And we wanted to show where we stand in that question, because we were young girls from Finland and we thought that was wrong. We need to become a modern country. Love is for everybody. We are all equal. So that's why we did it. And yeah, since then, Marry Me has been a kind of a gay anthem and a Eurovision song that the Eurovision fans love. So I'm really happy for that, because now I get to perform at all the Eurovision parties around in Europe, and I love that.
Yeah, I mean, you have been a continued, sustained member of the community. Like your presence at fan events, you know, I feel like you've done the Eurovision cruises and all of that between, you know, Finland and Tallinn, everything. You have been a popular and welcome and beloved face among fans. Do you have any favorite memories of an encounter that you've had with the fan community?
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. There are so many, but I think there was one really special memory. In 2014, I went to Copenhagen for Eurovision and I performed at the Euro Club. And there, a gay couple got married on stage during my performance. We had a priest there, we had everything, so it was a whole ceremony, and I will never forget that because that was just amazing. And then I thought, this is like, yeah, amen, this is like what the song Marry Me is all about. And I thought that was a really beautiful moment.
Oh my gosh, I mean, hopefully you got to sign the certificate as a witness. And
Oh, yeah. But it was really funny because we had everything there. We had like a priest and we had like all these wedding guests and me and my dancers. And then at the end we sang this song. But it was a complete surprise for the audience. But everything was really planned. And we planned it long before we came there, many, many weeks. So it was really fun.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, like you mentioned, Marry Me and the staging for Marry Me was considered absolutely scandalous back in the ancient days of 2013. I mean, I remember being interviewed by, national broadcasters saying, are they going to do this? What are your thoughts on how far we've come with the contest since then? I mean, same-sex kisses have been done since then, and I feel like the next level of scandal has probably already happened in terms of people being shocked by what they see on a Eurovision stage. Where do you think we've come from, and where do you think we've gone?
Well, I think that we have come a bit further. I mean, after that, Conchita Wurst won, for example. That was a big thing for the community, and also, for example, Nemo last year. So I really think that's some sort of sign, right, that we are going to a more equal world. At least I hope so. I know it's also tough today, and many people are talking that we're going backwards. But if we look at Eurovision, I feel like we are moving forward, and that makes me happy.
I hope so, too. So a little bit of background about you is that, you are Finnish, of course, very proudly so, but you are a member of the Swedish speaking community within Finland. Is that correct?
Just like Kai.
Exactly. Which is, you see exactly where I'm going here. Like, what we've had members of the Swedish speaking community in Finland representing Finland before, between you and quite a few actually over the years. But this is the first time that we've had a member of the community representing Sweden. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to other members of the community? I'm sure you've probably been in touch with family back in Finland about this.
Of course.
What do you see?
Oh my God, it's a big thing. And especially for us Swedish speaking Finns, we are like super proud of Kai. Like, I mean, they won Melodifestivalen in Swedish and they are singing in their own Vörö dialect. I mean, that's madness. Like, nobody would ever thought something like that could happen. So we are super proud of them. And of course, the whole Finland is really proud of them. This is huge. And at the same time, we are also being represented, as Swedish speaking Finns. And for me, when I represented Finland, I also wanted to talk about that and tell like, hello, we are a small minority here in Finland. We also exist. and that Kai is now doing this for Sweden. That is just wild, but so amazing. And I have to say, like, I love the boys so much. They are so humble and so cute. And I just hope that they win Eurovision Song Contest. It would be so cool.
Yeah, especially because you would have the visibility for the community, but Sweden would have to pay the bill.
Exactly. And then I think Sweden also has to take a Swedish-speaking Finn hosting the party together with Petra, for example.
Yes.
So that would be perfect because then my dream would come true. Hosting the Eurovision Song Contest and with Petra because I adore her.
Who doesn't?
She's a goddess.
Honestly.
She's a goddess. We love her.
They'd have to have you. So,
literally, is she the best Eurovision host ever from anywhere?
I really think so.
Who comes close?
I think she is fantastic.
She's on the Mount Rushmore for sure.
I mean, there are others I would put like near her.
Philomena
Cautela from Portugal.
Sure. Hannah Waddingham was fantastic too.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
She was also great.
Yeah. But not
Petra is for me my number one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she's a legend. So I mean, you've mentioned Melfest. You're somebody who's not only participated in UMK, but also hosted it. But you've also participated in Melodifestivalen as well. What are some of the differences and some of the similarities about those two experiences from where you've come from with this?
Well, Melodifestivalen is just so much bigger. It's huge. I mean, it's like they do a tour in whole Sweden, and the tour is like arena shows. It's different. It's bigger than in Finland. And I think at that time, now Finland is developing all the time. And I mean, UMK is amazing, but it's one show. But Sweden, they have more, they still have more, how do you say it? Like more experience from doing it. So I also felt like I really learned a lot from participating in Melodi Festival. And I hope and think that one day UMK will also be just as big as Melodi Festival. And it's really going that direction. So that's super cool.
Just like a tour of Finland, you know, having
I think so. Her semi- I think that's going to happen, that we would also have this kind of tour and semifinals. I really wish.
I'm just trying to think, you know, you would have to start in, you know, February or so, like they do for Melfest. I'm just trying to think February in Rovaniemi would probably be
cold,
incredible, but freezing.
Yeah. But it, I mean, it could also be, it doesn't have to be so long tour. I mean, the Melodi Festival, and it's like crazy. No other country does it like that. It's so many shows, but just a few semifinals already would be kind of fun. So let's hope for that.
I'm pretty sure the folks in Vorarlberg would probably be, you know, first in line to, you know, bring the party over here.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
Yeah. Everybody, are we ready to launch into our songs here? I know I feel like I could chat with you for hours on everything, but we should probably, for the sake of getting our day moving on, let's launch into this week's batch of songs. We are going to be chatting about San Marino, Greece, Spain, Azerbaijan, Serbia, and Germany. Basically, the ones that were left over from all the episodes that we've done already, if you haven't been paying attention. Yes, very excited. Why don't we listen to a little snippet of a song from San Marino? Is it really from San Marino? It's really from San. It's representing San Marino. We'll get into all of that in just a moment. Derek,
surely
let's roll
the title. Surely the title explains that it's from San Marino.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, here's a snippet of Tutta l'Italia from San Marino.
Oh no. E canti, ti sento tra le grida, le luci ci passano le dita, fa niente se non l'hai mai sentita. Ma con sta roba ci salta tutta l'Italia, tutta l'Italia, tutta l'Italia. All right, that was a snippet of Tutta l'Italia, all of Italy, for San Marino, represented by Gabri Ponte, who I don't think we actually technically hear his voice throughout the course of the song, but this is a Gabri Ponte joint, best known to music fans as a producer, songwriter, former member of Eiffel 65, that's right, Blue Dabba Dee was this man's doing. We have him to thank, we have him to blame. In 2022, he also co-wrote and produced Halo for Austria's Lumix and Pia Maria. Tutta l'Italia was the theme song, the song that you heard at every single commercial break for the San Remo Festival in Italy this year. And I suppose the folks over in San Marino heard the popularity of it and realized how much of a phenomenon the song was, snatched it up and put it in the San Marinese selection. And here we are. This is going to be performed in semifinal number one, song number 11. Krista, as our invited, honored guest, you get your first crack at the song. What do you think of the San Marinese entry this year?
I love it. Like, I mean, this is a party song. Like, this is what I want in Eurovision Song Contest. I really think it's super catchy. I see myself there in the arena with my flag screaming, Tutta l'Italia, Tutta l'Italia. I become really happy from this. I just hope that they are going to make a nice show, because I really think the song is great. But I'm a bit concerned about the stage show. Like, how are they going to make it now right? Because they have to make it right. I'm really on San Marino's side. I want them to do well in the competition. You know, I feel for them. They're a small little country, just like we Swedish-speaking Finns are. So I'm totally for San Marino, and I think this could maybe become their best place in the competition ever.
Which, I mean, that would be surpassing Serhat, I believe, in Se Na Na Na. So I think that's an achievable goal.
That's
yeah,
their best
so
finish.
Too.
That's
like, awesome. I wouldn't be surprised if San Marino is all of a sudden in top 10.
I think they would probably explode. They would probably absolutely piss themselves if they made top 10.
Yeah, but I think we're going to be surprised. If the show is good, if they do a good staging, then I think that can happen. Absolutely.
Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, oh gosh, top. I don't know. This year is so weird. I guess I was thinking to myself, I don't know about top 10, but I'm thinking about, like, no, I think maybe they could. I think it probably gets to the final. It's fun. I can't help, perhaps, obviously can't help but compare this to Espresso Macchiato, except that this is more fun. It's a bigger party. It it's, I don't know, the guy's probably not quite as enigmatic as Tommy Cash, so it evens out a little bit there. I just want to call out the lyric near the start that sums up Italy so well, that translates to just spaghetti, wine, our father. I love it. Like he's at the turntable doing an Our Father, like, or the sign of the cross. Like, that's fantastic. That's it. That's Tutto l'Italia right there. The three things. And I love you, Italy. / San Marino. San Marino is just so unabashedly like Italy getting two songs. And you know what? Fine. Let's embrace that. They're great. And this song is just so catchy and fun, and this didn't quite stick for me until I was listening to it very recently, how much it feels almost like a sea shanty, like a party sea shanty. It's fun. It's really, really fun. And you know what? Yeah, let's get this in the top 10. Why not? That'd be fun. Sam, what do you think?
I just find it funny that, I mean, I love it when a song from a country really just embraces its culture and embraces, you know, who they are unabashedly. But what happens when you're embracing the culture and the stereotypes and all of the things that make another country great and another country memorable? It's I again, San Marino is going to do its own thing. San Marino, just by virtue of it being San Marino, kind of has to do its own thing, but they're also kind of doing somebody else's thing. And you know, it's its own nation. I'm just really, really surprised that they didn't adapt the song in any way to make it San Marinese. But that being said, this song is Tutto San Marino. Okay, I see now why it doesn't work. But the song is just surgically honed to be catchy. Like, this is a song that was used to play ad infinitum to the ends of the earth at every single commercial break for San Remo, which basically meant that everybody in Italy, because I mean, seriously, Tutto l'Italia watches this festival. Going into and out of every single commercial break, you heard the hook over and over and over and over again. And it's just as catchy as the best television commercial jingle. Like, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids, has nothing on this. And Krista, I am so happy that you don't get this reference, because if you did, you would never be able to get it out of your head, and you're a lovely person and I don't want to do that to you. But this is a song that, whether it's representing Italy or San Marino or what, it's just impossible to ignore. And it's fun and it's joyous. I can't dislike this. It's impossible to dislike, unless you just don't like fun, in which case.
And it's definitely going to get 12 points from Italy.
Exactly.
It better.
Unless they don't like fun. But they do. Anyway, Derek, what do you think?
Huh. Uh-oh. Tutto Italia. Dabu dee dabu die.
I knew it was coming.
Anyway, so I think it's interesting. I was going to start up by just comparing it to Espresso Macchiato, in that it touches on a lot of the same themes and ideas. Like, it's really kind of exploring these sort of superficial, stereotypical ideas of being Italian and Italian people just kind of walking through the street going, I want to drink much wine and eat much spaghetti. And this one somehow feels very warm and welcoming and silly, whereas Espresso Macchiato just kind of feels mean-spirited. And I think it's wild that these are both in the same semi, because you're effectively trying to choose between which goofy Italian song am I going to vote for?
And neither of them are actually from Italy.
Neither of them are actually from Italy, too.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Is Italy voting in the semi? I can't remember.
Let me quadruple check that. Oh, one moment. I think they might. Yes, they are. Spain, Italy, and Switzerland. So, I mean, the Italian-speaking community in Switzerland will also have their say. We, you know, we can't.
Yeah, and them. Italy, they were already upset about Estonia's song. So, I think they will definitely go for San Marino's song instead.
I'm really curious, because I keep reading that there are Italians who love it and there are Italians who hate it. And I did see that there was an organization in Italy that tried to get the Estonian song removed. So, it's like, okay, how many people are actually liking this versus not liking it? I think, you know, this one, though, so speaking of all of Italy, I think this one, it's just a lot of fun. It's really catchy. It's a club banger. I think it's really going to get people on their feet and moving in the arena and at home. The guy's got, you know, decades of experience producing music, and it shows. He's not sloughing it here. It's just a lot of fun. I you know, it's not doing anything deep or meaningful, but I mean, you don't have to. I think just bringing a lot of energy and joy, I think, is enough. And yeah, I could just do top 10. We've said that about another song or two from San Marino before that ended up disappointing. I don't think this is going to not qualify. I think this is pretty safely through to Saturday, but how it's going to do on the night, I kind of a crapshoot. We'll see. I'm hoping for the best. I kind of root for the underdog on this one. San Marino deserves a little bit more respect, I think. Daniel?
It perfectly segues into what I was going to say at the very start of what I was going to say anyway, which is that San Marino wants a win. Of course, it's impossible for San Marino to win. But once in a while, San Marino actually gives us something that is like legitimately fun and not even in like an ironic way. Like, you can love that stupid little robot song from like 6 years ago. you can love, what was the song where the guy was on the mechanical bull?
Stripper.
Stripper.
Yeah, nice.
Achille Lauro, yeah.
Understated.
Achille Lauro was the name I was trying to conjure, but I couldn't get it. Oh, my. Like, you can like those songs ironically, but this one is like, there's something harmless about sort of how, I can't even use the term unabashed or like uninhibited, because this song kind of, it feels normal. Like, this kind of feels like the kind of pop song, little dancey, little dance number that you could, and I don't mean this in an insulting way, but sort of the song that could come from anywhere. And I only mean that because San Marino has sent such weird stuff in the past that it is kind of fun and refreshing and delightful that, like, I don't know, that San Marino has finally given us a legitimate, nice, great, dancey Eurovision number. It's great. I like it. I like it. And there's nothing to sort of hate about it either. You can dance to this one? Of course you'll dance to this one. I think it goes without saying that this is a qualifier. If this one doesn't go through, you literally have to be like, okay, well, they're just being mean to San Marino now. I think that's the only excuse, is like, well, because they don't like San Marino. They don't like taking it seriously. And I know that that's sort of the meme of Eurovision, is we don't take San Marino seriously. But they've sent us something that's legitimately enjoyable and undeniably fun. So you gotta vote for it.
Yeah, we all like it. Woo-hoo!
For a song that doesn't have a lot of substance and has a music video of a man at a DJ table literally stirring basil into his red sauce. Like, I love it. I love it.
Just want to throw back to Eric and I went over to our friends at KMSU Radio a couple weeks ago for a preview show that's going to be airing in early May. And we played a little game with them where we played the Italian, the San Marinese, and the Estonian songs, and to say which one of these is actually representing Italy. And the two hosts of the show, who'd never heard these songs, they were going in blind, or deaf, I suppose, they got it both wrong. They one said that the San Marinese song was representing Italy, and the other one said the Estonian song was. So when you out Italy, that's saying something.
And that's crazy, because that song is, the Italian song is crazy Italian. Like,
also true. But,
I would love a version of this that is about the culture of France, but it's submitted by Luxembourg. Like, if only Luxembourg had sent a song called like Tour de France, and it's all about bicycling through Provence with your bag of onions and a cigarette. Like, that would be a fantastic song, and
Luxembourg, I'm begging.
Well, you know, this will see next year.
I was going to say, this is how we get Andorra back.
Yeah, good. Ooh. Yeah, let's do it. This is how we get Monaco back in.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All making right. fun of other countries. You see how fun this is?
All right. Have we all said our piece on San Marino? Are we ready to roll on to our next song?
I just love that this song is literally, and I mean literally, an ad. It's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's Hashtag great. Ad.
All right. Let's go on to song number two. Representing Greece this year, this is Asteromata, or Starry Eyed, by Klavdia. Let's hear a snippet of that. All right, that was a little bit of Asteromata, Klavdia's, our singer representing Greece this year. It means starry-eyed. She is an alumna of the Voice of Greece from back in 2018. She signed a record deal and released her first singles in 2022. Supposedly, she was in the running to represent Greece back in 2023, but the broadcaster internally selected Victor Vernikos instead. But it's great to see her winning a national final and getting to Eurovision this year. This is going to be in semifinal number two, song number number 7. Eric, looks like it's your turn to start us off. What do you think?
Good. Okay, so this gets I've heard this get compared a lot to one of my favorite Eurovision songs, which is Oniromu from 2018. A song that didn't qualify, which is crazy. Stage performance wasn't great, whatever. I'm not sure I fully get that comparison, to, if I'm being honest. They're both sung in Greek by a young lady and are both kind of wistful, but the structure is certainly different. This one has more of a build to it as it goes along. It takes like a full minute for the a lot of the instrumentation to kick in on this. I don't like it as much as Oniromu, but that's a pretty high bar. I would say I do like this one. I think it's really pretty. And I mentioned the build. I like the way that it builds. And I have a hard time coming up with other things to say about it. It's a vibe. That's good. Unlike vibe. No, vibe is a vibe. But this is a very different vibe from vibe, as we've discussed. It's a really pretty song. I think it's going to do quite well. I think maybe better than people think, because I think it has a decent shot of standing out. I think the visuals behind her are going to be super cool and memorable. And this would be... Greece hasn't done horribly over the last 5 years or so, but I think this has potential to be a very good finish for him. Sam, do you hate it?
I went on a journey with this song.
When
it was first selected, I was like, okay, this is nice. It's fine. It's a very pretty ballad. Always nice to see some glasses representation, you know, my myopia girls are, you know, we're getting our due. But the song kind of just washed over me. I saw it as, you know, just a very pretty song and kind of moved on to the next thing. I re-listened to the song, just, you know, a couple of days ago prepping for the episode. And it was the first time that I'd really, one, listened to the full redone version that they'd done on the official music video, really watched the music video, and also really dived into the lyrics. And I was crying like a baby by the end of it. I was in floods, just destroyed. I get the comparisons to Oniromu. My initial reaction to that second listen was more like Die Together by Amanda Tenfjord in terms of just the impact, the build, the drama of it. But the song also has a really poignant message about the refugee experience and being far away from your home and your family and everything that you know and you love, and yet you're still undeniably tied to the homeland that you've left behind. And it just thwacked me between the eyes, and I had to basically stop what I was doing for a good 10 minutes and put myself together. The song, it's beautiful. It builds incredibly well. It is undeniably Greek, not just because of the language, but also the rhythm structure, the musicality of it. I was not expecting to love this as much as I now do. When I redo my rankings, this is going to be shockingly moved. But I was shockingly moved by it. So that's where I am with it. Derek, what do you think? Are you going to piss on my dreams again?
You know, Sam, and your odd Greek doppelganger.
Okay, for the record, not all bespectacled brunettes. We're not all the same.
Yes, they are, Sammy.
I was thinking that she was your doppelganger the first time I saw her. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Okay, for the record, okay, again, throwback to 2013. The number of times that people came up to me thinking I was Moran Mazur, the Israeli singer. I'm like, for the record.
Oh, I gotta look this up.
That's true. You look a bit like her, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Put my hair down, wear a much more revealing dress, and you can.
Yeah.
Anyway. Derek, I'm sorry. Continue.
What is there to be said about Greece? I'm kind of with you, Sam, on the idea that this really took me by surprise, because the first time I listened to it, I'm like, this is kind of a very old school kind of classic Greek song. You know, it has all these orchestral elements and, you know, that slow build. And it kind of felt like I listened to some of her other songs. I'm like, is this kind of what she does? And it is. Like, she's very much of this genre of like kind of the old school Greek. And I think that's really cool. Like, she doesn't really modernize it, but it doesn't feel dated either, which I think is really good. That I didn't know it was about refugees and the refugee experience and that connection to home. And it's meant to be like a hopeful story really took me by surprise. And you kind of read about, like, there's a lot of references to her mother, I guess both like her actual mother, but also like her motherland, and kind of like losing that, but still feeling connected to it. Yeah, I think there's a lot more going on here than just what you're seeing on the surface. And I think that's really, really cool to see, especially from like a younger artist. She feels like I would expect this from someone who is a bit older, which is not a nice thing to say, but you know, you don't expect someone in the early 20s to be having these grandiose ambitions, but hey, good on her. I think this is really cool. I hope this does better than people expect, because right now it feels like it's being underrated in a lot of areas. I mean, we never know what's going to happen, but I'm hoping this surprises people. I'm hoping that connection, like people figure it out. They get a little bit of background and they're like, oh, I see the story. I feel the emotion and in a way that I think that we did. So yeah, I hope for this one.
She's 22?
Yep.
Wow.
She's feeling it.
Could have fooled me.
Derek,
fooled me apparently.
It's strange that you say that this is underappreciated, because in the majority of the like YouTube countdown videos that I see on like user votes, this one is always inexplicably top five. It's odd that I keep seeing it, and it's something that I personally don't agree with. There might be some significant, I mean there is significant emotional depth to this song. It comes from a completely genuine place. It is totally real. You believe her because she really is singing something that is important to her. Like this is without question, there are those songs every year where you're just like, did somebody just hand you this to sing? Somebody just handed you these emotions to sing, and this is totally her. But I, for some reason, maybe it's just because I don't speak Greece, and the first couple of times that I listened to this song, I did not, you know, I didn't know what this song was about. You know, I just knew that it was coming from a very genuine place. It didn't hit me, and it still hasn't stuck onto me. To me, this hits in that category of entries this year that are inarguably very good, but which I just don't have an interest in. Like, you know, there's great movies that you just are just like, I don't know if I'll ever get around to watching that. That's kind of how it feels with this one. It's just not my cuppa, and I don't why do I have a tone where I like sound like I'm about to be really mean to her? I'm not. It's just that it doesn't hit, and sometimes it's a song that doesn't hit, and I think because Greek is not a widely spoken language over there, you know, even like, you know, Italian, some neighboring countries will be familiar with Italian enough to even understand a little bit of tutta l'Italia. With the Greek language, there's not a huge diaspora or a huge overlap from country to country, so I think the language barrier might play out for first time viewers of this song the same way that it has for me. That's my worry. That's all.
I have to be honest, I only listened to this song one time, and I think most of the viewers that watch Eurovision Song Contest will be watching it one time. They see it the first time. You have 3 minutes to make an impression. So for me, I noticed immediately, okay, wow, this is a great singer. And I actually love the fact that she sings in her own language. I think that's cool. That's beautiful. I didn't fully get the message. I also did not know the story behind it. So for me, it just felt like, okay, this is an okay song. Like, she sings super good, and I think it's beautiful. But just like you, I didn't, it didn't stick on my mind. So after hearing it one time, I don't remember it anymore. And I think in Eurovision Song Contest, it's really important that you remember something from it, like a line or a chorus or some kind of melody. But I don't. So for me, it's good. She's good and it's beautiful, but it's definitely not my favorite song. It's not in my top 10. I'm sorry, Greece. But you know, I'm more like, you are the one. You're my number one. You know, I'm a bit more Elena Paparizou. That's more like me. Yeah.
Alcohol is free. Yes.
Oh yeah. God, I love that one. I'm still in contact with guys. Fun guys.
Oh. They were the best. Yeah,
so when it comes to Greece, I'm a bit more of that. Like, I love that vibe from Greece.
Party Greece rather than melancholia Greece.
I'm definitely more for the party Greece. Yeah. And it's just that kind of person I am. Don't take it personally.
Have we all said our piece on Greece then? Any other lingering thoughts before we roll on? All right. We're going to keep it in the Mediterranean vibe here, moving pretty far to the west, however. We're going to chat about Spain. This is Melody with Esa Diva. Una diva sencilla con un simple mortal. All right. That is Issa Viva by Melody from Spain. A little bit of interesting history on her. She actually released her first album at the age of 10, and it was actually a smash success on the Spanish charts. Made it to number 2 on the Spanish charts, like for the album back in 2001, with her lead single, El Baile del Gorila, the gorilla dance, actually making it to number 1 on the chart. She was nominated for a Latin Grammy for it by the age of 11. She's released 6 full-length albums since then, mostly in her child career. She was the runner-up to represent Spain in Moscow, so this would have been in 2009 with her song Amante de la Luna, Lover of the Moon, but she actually lost in a tiebreak. Both she and La Noche es para Mí both had 22 points. However, Soraya had more of a support from the public vote, so that broke the tie, so she's finally getting her shot. 16 years after almost making it to Moscow, we'll see her in Basel, and yet she's still rather young, so it makes me wonder what the hell have I done with my life. This, of course, being Spain, this is an automatic finalist. We'll see this on the Saturday night, and it looks like it's my turn to start this off. And for me, this is Spain doing what Spain does. This is party Spain. This is big voiced diva dancing up a storm, a little bit of a flamenco kiss, big powerhouse vocals, doing something with her hair at one point that I don't even know what it is. that sort of ponytail whippy thing. Good for her. I enjoy this, and this for me is one of those songs that I like to call cotton candy. That it's sweet and fun and enjoyable, and you love every second of it for the 3 minutes that it's there. But once it's over, I'm like, okay, this hasn't really broken any new ground for me. This hasn't really done anything truly unique that captures my attention. And I move on to the next song. It just kind of dissolves like cotton candy would be. There's nothing wrong with this for me. But there's also, it just, like what Danny was saying and what Krista was saying, that Greece wasn't just their cup of tea. Wasn't, you know, you know that it's a good, solid song, but it just doesn't hit your ear and your brain and your heart in the same way. That's kind of how I am with Spain. And Spain is really, really good at what they do. They send songs that are fun and danceable, and especially unabashedly, especially recently, you know, that between this and Zorra, unabashedly pro female and like women's empowerment of I am a diva, and you know, a diva is strong. She doesn't step on others to get what you want, which is an incredible message and a wonderful, wonderful vibe and a wonderful, wonderful thing to portray. And then I'm ready to move on to the next song. it's wonderful. It's like I know that there's nothing particularly wrong with this. It just doesn't grab me. So that's kind of where I am with it. So, Derek, before I continue rambling, what do you think?
This is one of them Eurovision pop songs that I tend to get annoyed with.
Derek does? Derek no, does? No. Oh,
yeah. And yet, I find myself loving this in spite of myself. And I think part of the reason is this song, and I think what's missing in a lot of these, I'm just going to say Eurovision pop songs, the 3-minute Eurovision standard pop song, is that there's no identity. And this one has an identity. This one is definitely Spanish. It's got the guitar. It's got, the lyrics, obviously, but just the sensibility of it. If you played this for me, even if it was in English, I'd be like, yes, that's a Spanish song. And I get that. And I think there's a really good message behind it beyond just I'm in love or we're breaking up and I'm sad. You know, it's this kind of self-reflection thing. And I think what really kind of sold it for me too, in terms of the narrative, is the fact that she kind of came from this musical family. She's been doing music for almost her entire life. But when you dig into it, like, her mother actively discouraged her from pursuing music. She's like, don't do it. It's a waste. You're not going to succeed. And she went ahead and did it anyway. And I feel like the song kind of reflects that. Like, I'm a musician. I'm a singer. I'm an artist. I'm out there doing my thing. And I'm proud of it. And it's just like, okay, no, that kind of makes a lot of sense. I don't think it's spiteful. I know how that sounded when I described it, but but you kind of see, like, it's about like overcoming that adversity and pursuing your dreams. And Zorra is a very similar song in that regard. And Zorra was, I would say, maybe a little bit more spiteful, but spite in the face of, you know, a lot of sexism and, you know, general prejudice. And this one feels like it's spiteful in terms of like just fate. Like, yeah, it's hard, like being a musician and being successful and being an artist. It's really, really difficult. And she's doing it anyway. And she's doing it the best she can. It's super catchy. It's a lot of fun. I would like to see this do well for Spain, but again, it seems like a lot of people are just kind of being dismissive of it. I don't know what Spain needs to do to get the attention again, maybe more the booty hypnotic stuff or something. But yeah, I think this is better than it has any right to be.
Danny?
Hey. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry.
You're good. You're good. Derek, I appreciate the unintended good segues into my comments. And my thing is, I think this is going to be another slow-mo. Mm. I think that this is a relatively weak year, and Spain has sent a very... how to put this, like the song is good. The song is great. The song is eminently easy to listen to. It offends nobody, but it's also extremely enjoyable. It comes from a very, comes from a unique and strong perspective. Like, this does not feel cookie cutter. Like, for as poppy as it is, this does not feel like it came out of a factory. This doesn't feel machine made. It feels like someone who wanted to create this song created it. Someone who wanted to sing this song created it. I think this is so Spanish. This is so Eurovision Spanish. This is so like, this is the song that I kind of wanted Zora to be last year, because I thought that she just didn't have the pipes to actually sing that song. And so we have a song that comes from kind of the same arena of, you know, of Diva, but is being sung by someone who, without a doubt, is going to be able to hit all of these notes, hit them on the night, and just sell the hell out of this song. I think she's very interesting too. I think she's not enigmatic, but just a very, very intriguing kind of performer. We have plenty of fun performers this year. We have Kai. We have, I even think the guys from Mamagama, who we're going to be talking about in just a little bit, I think they're very interesting too. But there's something extremely, like, she's very exotic, of course, but like, she's a sexy diva who's singing this song. This is set up as a type that is easy for first-time viewers of Eurovision to immediately recognize. So I think that it has an in there that is very promising for it. And then there is just the song itself, very listenable, very active. I feel like the call to action that we always talk about for whether or not you want to vote for a song. You know, there might be songs that you like, but then there's like, what are the songs that get your attention? What are the songs that when you vote for it, you're like, this is deserving my vote for sure. I think this is going to be one of those top three. I think that this is going to come top three. I'm going to put my bet on it right now.
Whoa.
Oh man. Krista?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I love this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather have this than Eurovision Sleep Contest. When I was at the pre-party in Amsterdam, there were so many ballads after each other. At one point, I got so sleepy, I got really tired. And then she came on stage. It's like diva. And I don't understand why she's so low, like low in the odds checker. Because I think that this is a great performer, a good song. Like, I understand that it feels a bit, maybe the song is a bit like, okay, it could also have been 10 years ago, but sure, I think sure. that she's such a good performer, very dramatic, very sexy, very good performer, strong, and she's such a good singer. Like, I love watching her. I'm like, wow, okay, now something is happening. I'm awake. Woo, let's go. So I like this. And I also think that she's going to surprise us. I think she's going to do better than the odds are now pointing at. So I do like this, and I love Spain.
Kirk?
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat as Sam, I would say. I acknowledge it as being good, and that it doesn't just quite grab me. I like it more than Zora.
Eric, I would have thought that you would have loved a song about being a Spanish diva. Yeah. I would have thought this would be all you.
Listen, my days of being a Spanish diva are behind me. And I think that... No, it's not bad. It's certainly not bad. It just doesn't quite grab me. I think that there's a really good story being told here. And if that can be conveyed visually, I think it could go a long way. I think top three is really pushing it. But there are definitely elements there that I think could be very good for her. The bridge, the breakdown, where it's just diva, 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 or that goes so hard. I love it. I love that part. Make that the recap. You gain like five spots, I think. Oh, yeah. Just by itself, that, you know, put some dancing right there. You're gonna get comparisons to slow-mo if you do that, but you know what, people love slow-mo, so whatever, do it, just do it.
I love slow-mo.
It's incredible. It's so good. That was definitely one that I think a lot of people slept on, just how hard that would hit when it got there.
Just like Fuego, huh? honestly.
Like fuego.
Yeah, I have the same thing, yeah.
I wouldn't put this in that basket. I guess it wouldn't shock me, Danny, like you said, you said it was a weak year.
It is.
And I prefer weird year. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I know, yeah.
Who knows? It's just, I feel like last year we went into to Malmö being like, well, we really don't know who's going to win. And that was true. But this year, holy crap, we really have no idea. So who knows? It's anyone's game. And yeah, if they can have a sort of visual storytelling element that'll help elevate this just a little bit, I think it could do quite well. It's not quite my cup of tea, but I see the vision. I see the vision. So
if she comes in very high, I think it is purely on the strength of this song. I think that we have a little bit of a fun time giving Spain a hard time for as deserving as they have been for so long, because Spain's fans are so rabid and they keep sending these pretty big blockbuster songs. And this feels like a blockbuster song. You know, there's a lot of production going into this and they've got fantastic singer and there's nothing spared. It doesn't feel overproduced, but there's nothing spared to make this fantastic. But then you have submissions like Sweden, where it's like there's this whole storied legacy behind it. And there's this whole, you know, this idea of this silly little song about going to a sauna being much more than the song is. Spain's song is purely Spain's entry. It really feels like it is not shackled or weighed down by a bunch of Eurovision historical context. And that is, in a way, very liberating for this entry.
Have one we... oh, sorry, yeah, go
sorry,
on.
Sorry, before we move on. Aiko, go away.
Hi, Aiko.
Hey, Aiko. Oh, no, Aiko.
Let's not do that.
Here it comes again.
That she does, I read somewhere that that's like a signature thing. Does anyone know if that's the case?
Can you say that again?
Yeah.
The thing that she does with her hair is like her signature.
Hairography.
Oh, okay, because I was also thinking about that. What was that actually? But it's kind of fun. No one else does it except for Slavko. Remember?
Slavko.
She'll need extensions if she wants to go full Slavko. But
yeah, you should get them collaborating.
Yeah, that would be fun. I would definitely watch that performance.
Absolutely. You know, I'm not sure if that's sort of a signature move of hers, like throughout history. But again, I'm the fact that this is a song that she co-wrote, co-produced, and the fact that she has been in the business since she was 10. Well, at least she recorded her first album at 10. She's probably been performing since well before then. I'm absolutely expecting this to be a song that is incredibly well performed. She's probably going to throw some incredible staging together. I can't fault this. She knows who she is, and she has this is a song that wasn't just given to her. This is a song that she's emotionally invested in. So I expect good things. It's just not what I personally am gravitating to. All right. Have we all set our piece on Spain? Are we ready to roll on? All right. Next up, we head basically about as far east in the contest as we can until you hit Australia, but that was a different episode.
I was going to say, this is Australia erasure.
All right. Without flying over an ocean, about as far east as we're going, as we head over to Azerbaijan, this is Run With You by Mama Gama. Let's hear a snippet. All right, that was a little bit of Run With You by Mama Gama, representing Azerbaijan. It's vocalist Asaf Mishiev, guitarist Hassan Haidar, and drummer Arif Imanov. The three of them formed in 2021, taking top honors in the international category at Albania's Kunga Majike the next year. They've done festivals, they've done all sorts of concerts. In 2023, they were also in the running to represent Azerbaijan, but the broadcaster ended up going with Turan Tural X that year. They are going to be in semifinal one, song number 10. Derek, it's your turn to start us off. What do you think?
I'm going to start by saying there really isn't a whole lot to this song. It's a pretty straightforward, you know, upbeat, positive, sort of love, infatuation, sort of themed song. Meeting at the dance club, getting out on the floor, having fun. I feel like we don't get a lot of songs like this anymore that are just like kind of joyous in celebrating like love and quality, as it were. You know, not a lot of, I don't think there's a lot of depth to the lyrics themselves. The music, I think, is really fascinating. And the band has kind of talked about how they combine like classic Azeri music with sort of modern pop songs. And you really hear that coming through. And I think that is really cool. I like his voice a lot too. He's got that higher register, which is sort of interesting. I don't have a whole lot to say about this one. It's a lot of fun. I really do like it. I think Azerbaijan's kind of struggled in the last few years to qualify.
lo-fi, and I think this one could do it for them. I feel like they're sort of searching for a new identity, and I feel like this is kind of a step in the right direction for them. Yeah, Danny?
I don't know what it is over the past couple of years. I've had a soft spot for Azerbaijan sending songs that I like, but that I just know are doomed to die because Europe at large doesn't have any taste. I adore this song, and I know when this song first came out, I think Eric and Derek and I were all in agreement that there's something refreshingly just something refreshing about this song. It doesn't have any pretense. There's nothing huge and sweeping about this song. There's no posturing that it's telling a universal story or a story that really says something about the human condition, because sometimes your favorite songs are just songs about dancing with a girl that you love. Like sometimes your favorite song is just that song that has your toe tapping and is just like, I don't know, sung by a tenor voiced Azeri guy in a leather jacket. Like, that's just what you like. And what I like is just like when Eurovision acts are just guys in a band. Like, that's why I loved Joker Out. It is why I love Portugal's submission this year. I love a group that really feels like this is a legitimate old fashioned kind of music group that formed from friends who just love singing with each other. Like, I don't know how that has become in 2025 such a rare commodity, and I'm not saying that this has any shot at winning. I even think that it has a tough shot at qualifying, just because it comes from such a and I mean this in a affectionate way, that it comes from such a small place, that it comes from a place that, like I said, is not epic, it is not huge, it's just a fun little song with a great little, what is that traditional instrument that they're playing that's like very mandolin like or balalaika like, that is just like playing on that bridge, playing in the post chorus, whatever it is, it's, you love that sound. You love that authentic sound that comes from a country that you can't find anywhere else. Or you might find it a neighbor, but just like is saying something about the country that sort of makes it appropriate for this contest. I really like this song intellectually. I know that this has maybe a ghost of a chance at qualifying, but this is going to be one of those ones that, like Tarouter X, is just going to have to be near and dear to my heart, and I'll just keep it there. And I'll be the only one.
Aww. I think, you know, that the song is pretty cool, actually. I think he has a great voice, and I like the song, but I feel that it's more like a radio song that could do well on the radio, that I would be happy to listen to on the radio.
Yeah.
But I'm also a bit afraid that it will not stick out, you know, at the Eurovision scene. I'm really, really curious how they're going to stage it, make it look. I hope it's going to qualify, but I'm also a bit afraid that maybe it won't stick out enough, you know. But for my own personal taste, I like it, and I would like to hear it on the radio. That's about it. I also don't have so much to say about it.
Yeah, there are those songs every year that are like, what is this doing here? Because this should be on top 40 radio. This should be on pop radio. That happened big time with the over here, because it did nothing at the contest. But what's happening
Snap,
with my brain?
Rosalind?
Snap, exactly. That's it. Snap did. Snap is like the biggest Eurovision song from the past 20 years to happen over here. That was on alternative radio over here a lot, and it came in
true.
What 21st in the grand final.
Yeah,
that was big.
Yeah.
That can just
but then
happen.
You see, you know, there are different places for different kind of songs, you know, and it would be cool and or cool with Snap that it found its place after Eurovision.
Yeah, you're always rooting for it.
Eric?
I've been waiting for this. It took 34 songs and now we're here. When I first did my sorter for like figuring out, you know, which songs are your favorite, it was number one.
Ooh.
I adore this. It's probably still number one. We'll see. It's a weird year, like we've said. That instrument that I also don't know the name of right after the chorus. My God, that is so catchy. Just everything about this is exactly the type of music I like. I've thought a lot about how to explain why that is, and I can't. This is just the type of song I really like. Having said that, it is not the easiest song vocally, clearly. It's a high tenor. A lot of high tenor this year. And then whatever's above that. Got some of that too. Countertenor. If this is pitchy on stage, they're dead in the water. Like, it's just like, and it could happen right at the start. Like right out of the gate. And that breaks my heart. Because and like they're young. They're a young group. I could very much see it happening. If it's not, and that
that fun vibe that like the music video has with the cameos and the Frankenstein experiments and so on. if they can capture that and the performance is on, I think this could surprise. But I'm going to be honest, for as much as I absolutely adore this song, my hopes are not high.
Yeah,
they're just not. I'm sorry. But it is so good. It feels very modern. It feels like a top 40 sort of hit, like I don't know, the phrase Azeri Jonas Brothers comes to mind, or something like that. That's probably very wrong.
A little better.
But they're in semi one, where there's only 15 songs. Mm-hmm. They only have to outdo a handful of things. I mean, I think there are a couple of songs there that really don't have a shot. There's the opportunity is there. They really do need to nail it vocally live, because there just isn't going to be room for error on it. But way to go, Azerbaijan. You made a song that absolutely slaps, and I love it.
My talking points have generally been taken, I hate to say. No, I mean, when it comes to just listening pleasure, radio friendly, this is fun. This is, you know, I smiled the first time I heard it. It did catch my ears. It just feels joyous and fun and simple. It's nothing more complicated than that. It's not giving us any big, you know, wholehearted messages or anything. It's just 3 minutes of fun. And I did look it up. I'm pretty sure that instrument might have been a saz, which is prevalent in music from that region.
Sure.
I could be wrong. There are probably many different little stringed lute-y kind of instruments in that neck of the woods, but it might be a saz. My original concern with this was where it is in the running order. Because like I said, it is number 10. And at first I was worried that, okay, song number 8 is Norway, which is high energy. Song number 9 is Belgium, strobe lights, high energy. Then we have 10. This is not a low energy song, but it just kind of, it feels like a major step down. And then we pick it up again, song number 11, that's San Marino. And then Albania right after that. So at first God. I was really, really worried about this run. Is just going to fall into a bit of an energy canyon. And then I realized the automatic qualifiers get to perform in the running order, remember? And it looks like after Belgium, we will actually have the song from Italy. So it'll go Belgium, Italy, Azerbaijan. So we're going to have this really quiet song and then Azerbaijan. So that canyon is kind of mitigated a little bit by having a much slower, much more emotional Italian language song. And then we pick up the tempo again with Mama Gama. So I think it might not be as doomed by the running order as I was originally worried. Eric, you want to?
Yeah, two things. One, let's normalize the phrase energy canyon. Second, you're telling me we were this close to having Italy and San Marino back to back?
I know.
Okay, that's all.
I know. I blame
like this beautiful little ballad about wanting, like, I was going to be a tough guy. And then 40 seconds go by. Love it.
Yep.
I love this contest.
I know.
This stupid contest. I love it.
In terms of just, like I said, pure radio enjoyment, the song is great. In terms of competitive nature, it's got a bit of an uphill climb ahead of it. But for the 3 minutes, hopefully 6 minutes that it's out there, I'm smiling. I can't dislike this. Have we all set our piece on Azerbaijan then? Ready to roll on to Serbia then? All right. Song number 5 for this show. Let us head over to Serbia. Here comes Prince with Mila.
Mila, ti si pla- što volim te ja Mila život vratila sa ruba ima mnogo razloga da ipak voliš drugu.
All right, that was Mila by Prince. Representing Serbia. His real name is Stefan Zdravković. He's been performing professionally since 2016, he's participated in music festivals all over Europe, and even made it to the top 12 of The Voice of Bulgaria back in 2021. And in 2023, he was the runner-up in the Serbian national final with the song Svet Istoka, which I believe means Flower of the East, but lost overall to Luke Black. This is going to be in semifinal number 2, song number 15. Danny, looks like it's your turn to start us off. What do you think?
Every year, there is a song that I must compare to one of my favorite Eurovision entries of all time, and that is The Lucky One by Ugu Suviste. The Lucky One
by, get your votes ready.
By Lord Ugu Suviste is so huge, so hyper-romantic, so Wagnerian in its stupid little tortured man pain love song, like that it is hilarious. It is a hilarious song to me. A song that puts a smile on my face because I think it is so overwrought and so bad that I adore it. And that is this song for me this year. This is my Ukusuviste, the lucky one award of the year, goes to Prink for this absolutely gorgeously overwrought, old-fashioned kind of song. This song is so 14 years ago. It is so hyper-produced and epic, and he is singing about the deep, beautiful, painful love in his heart. And he looks like he has borrowed the wig from one of the dwarf kings in the first Hobbit movie. It's so incredible. Watching him belt out this love song that I don't know what it's about. The sweeping music behind him. He might as well just have a wind machine in front of him and tears running down his face. It feels so overdone. I can't stop watching it whenever I am honestly tasked with watching this again. It doesn't quite rival The Lucky One because I adore The Lucky One. It has a very stupid little spot in my ironic heart. But this one is, I wouldn't even say this is the worst one of the year, but it is the one that I think is the most laughably bad of the year. I think it is, I think they should have really, really done something different here. Go back to the days when this country really would send something as weird as Luke Black, because that could have, we could really be doing something fun with something hyper modern, but instead we have this, which feels so capital E Eurovision, which feels so, it's lame. It's a lame song. That's all.
Krista?
Yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, I think he really is a good singer. And the song is very classic. But as you said, like, not even 14 years. Like, you can also go back maybe 20 years or 30 years. We could have had this exactly same song. So it's really, you have heard this over and over. There's nothing new here. So, this is like, he's a good singer. And I have heard his melody before. It's a beautiful melody, but it's just so done. So that's why I don't think that Serbia will do so good this year. But we'll see. You never know.
Eric?
Do I have to? No, I'll do it. I'll do it. I was reminded of this song last night, Danny, by the Instagram story of your fiance from Can Can Wonderland.
Oh, yes.
For everyone who's not on this show... or who doesn't live in Minnesota, I should say. There's a very bizarre, like, modern art mini golf course here that is very, very fun. And the art pieces / mini golf holes have different names. And one of them is called Serbian Trainwreck.
Serbian Trainwreck. Oh, that's the best one. Yeah.
And, well, here it is. This is...
ouch.
I'm really sorry, Prink. I get what Danny's saying about the overwrought and it being fun as a result. Yeah. And I'm not even to that point.
You're not even there. You can't even enjoy it. Ironically, I'm so sorry.
I'm sure there's something lost in translation on the lyrics, but I just want to say. The way this starts out is, excuse me, may that be my last supper. Let the eye of Cerberus drive me into the night. Let you be awakened by the scent of memories and my music of your name. My God. It's not very good. I'm sorry.
Is that,
I could read more.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
We're
good.
maybe next year, Serbia. I'm really sorry. It's a miss. I don't know what else to say. So, Sam, go ahead.
I don't disagree with you guys. Again, vocals are lovely. You can't fault that. The hair is fantastic. I'm sure the folks in the Moroccan oil booth will have a field day with him in the press center and the delegation bubble. But it's like what y'all were saying. This song was done 20 years ago, and it was 20 plus years ago, and it was done better 20 plus years ago. Like, if you remember, or if you've done your research and have looked looked back on some of the incredible, like unbelievable regional ballads from that Balkan region. You know, my brain goes to Hari Matahari with Layla back, that would have been like 2005-ish. Molitva, of course.
Yeah, Molitva. I was also thinking about that. Yeah. It was like...
Yeah, like Lane Moje. Like there is Oro, when Serbia, you know, the hometown entry when they hosted. There is some incredible, incredible, sweeping, emotional, like grab you by the heart and rip it out and there it is. And this, it almost... There's timeless and there's dated. And this just doesn't, this just feels more dated to me. It doesn't push that envelope. It doesn't innovate. It doesn't, it's just kind of there. And
I get what you're saying. Putting this and Molitva in the same sentence feels
cruel. I know. It's, you know, it's Molitva, almost apples and oranges.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
But like, I remember when we had that couple of years when Serbia were the weird kids, where they were the art school, you know, art school weirdos, you know, having Luke Black and Constructa back to back. And I kind of want Serbia to go weird again, because it takes something truly, truly, truly special to reach the heights that we now expect from a incredible Balkan ballad. Because, you know, Lane Moje is timeless. Layla, again, if you put that this year, would probably do quite nicely. This just doesn't hold a candle to that. And I know that not everybody is comparing, you know, the songs from 2005 to what we're hearing now, but this just kind of leaves me cold. I know how good they've done and how much better they can do. And it just kind of like, And also, just as a Minnesotan, anybody calling themselves Prince is also holding themselves up to an impossibly high standard. Yeah. I mean, I guess if he goes on stage wearing all purple and ashless chaps, I mean, maybe, but that's Prince, if you're listening. Derek, what do you think?
I believe on a previous episode, Danny established for us that all chaps are assless.
Yes, but it's just fun to say assless chaps.
I know.
The man, that's true. The man has no ass. He's also a national karate champion, so I'm gonna...
Would you say he's an assless chap?
Yes. No, I gotta be careful. He could kick my ass. This one, he's such an interesting guy. I was reading about him a bit. Like I said, national karate champion. He has a degree in linguistics. He was in a rock band previously, which explains a lot. And he also played Jesus in Jesus Christ Superstar, which, again, explains a lot. This feels like a culmination of everything he's done before in a weird way. I agree that the song feels a bit dated. It needed some modern hook or update to make it a little bit more fresh and interesting. I feel like Serbia, for whatever reason, is being a lot more conservative this year. They're sending something a little bit more like classic Balkan ballad, but not pushing the envelope in any way or not being innovative in any way, which I think is kind of a detriment, because, you know, they've won with songs like this before. They can do it. They know the ins and outs of music like this, and this feels a little underbaked, a bit stodgy. It's got a soggy bottom. I listened to it and I admire sort of what he's doing and the style of it. I think this could have been a lot more, though. I wish there was just more to it. And once it's over, I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, that's a good effort. But I kind of see where Sam's coming from. Like, they used to be the weird art school kids, and once that worked out really well for them, Constructa was, you know, top five. And then Luke Black came along and he barely qualified and ended up near the bottom. And it's a risk. And honestly, though, I'd rather countries take the risk than sort of play it safe. I mean, maybe you'll do badly, but hey, you learned something. Try something different.
In the community, isn't there always just like every single year you make fun of the countries that send something that is so boringly Eurovision, that is so quote unquote Eurovision, and you praise those countries every year that send something really unexpected, something really artful, something even avant-garde like Constructa was. Like, why would you keep... I understand it's because you have a national selection process and it's like, you know, usually the winner of your national final has to go to Eurovision, but it's like, put more faith in just weird stuff that's really gonna progress music. I don't know, maybe that's too high-minded. I mean, for the Eurovision Song Contest.
I can see why they picked him. I feel kind of bad for what I said earlier. I will say that he's a really good singer.
He is.
He really is. And and he also sings really good live, so he has that.
Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't know if you double checked where this is, what this is between in running order. And I'll tell you, it's Germany and Finland. So good luck, buddy.
Whoa. Yeah.
Germany as an auto qualifier is right before it, but and then Erica gets to
what?
On stage.
That's really good for Finland, though.
Oh yeah,
it's in the showstopper spot, and it probably deserves to be. So there we go. So
all right. We all good to go on Serbia. Are we done punching on Serbia, the poor folks?
Yes.
That was nice.
You were.
We can take Prince out of the pillory. Yes.
Yes. It's not him. It's a song. Anyway. All right. We have our last song of our show coming right up for you. And yeah, well, this is convenient. We were just talking about them. Let's chat about our remaining automatic finalist. This is Germany, Abor and Tina with Baller. All right, Abor and Tina with Baller, which means to shoot, from Germany. Even though they are representing Germany, their pair are born in Vienna. Their brother-sister duo, Attila and Tunde Bonamisha, both classically trained musicians, Attila in cello and Tunde in flute. They've been recording together, just independent singles, since 2016, and they released their first full-length album in January. This is the first fully German-language entry to represent Germany since Gildo Horn did it in 1998, but it should also be noted the language rule was still in place at the time. So This is a long time coming. We've had a couple of acts like have a bit of German up in there, but this is the first all German language song from Germany in a long, long time. Automatic finalist, Krista, take us home. What do you think of this one?
I think it's kind of cool. And I love the fact that they sing in German. I think it feels modern and fresh, and I get more like a club vibe from this or something, some underground performance. It's a bit interesting now in the Eurovision context, because when I watched the performance, I felt that the song is cool, but the staging was not there at all. I really feel like they have to work a lot on that, because it felt, when I watched it, it felt like they didn't plan anything or how they are going to do it on stage. So I'm a bit concerned about that. But I think the song is cool. If they put this on at Euroclub, I will definitely be dancing.
Eric?
This slaps so hard. Absolute club banger. There's been a lot of foo-for-all about canceling pre-show. Oh, which one of them is the singer again?
Tina.
Has been sick. Has had a bad bout of laryngitis. And people are like, woo, that's, I don't know. This is not like a, what's that song I loved but did bad? Burning Daylight situation where it was clear that it wasn't working. She's just sick. So everybody calm down. I think this will be fine when it gets there. Germany's not gonna hold off on staging budget. I mean, just look at how just epic their last couple of stagings felt. Always on the Run and Lord of the Lost, whatever that song was called.
Blood and Glitter.
Could I forget? Good Lord. Blood and Glitter. They finished in last place. Anyway, this song will do better than that, I think. I love the sort of fragmented vocal thing in the chorus. And I know that on stage, you have to replicate that somehow, unless you decide you're not gonna sing that part and just let it play. And I hope they don't do that. That'd be a little bit tacky. But it's a really good hook. It's a really, really, really good hook. And... they'll put it together and it's going to look awesome. There's going to be strobes and other stuff. This is the sort of song that can fill an arena and feel big. I think, and it just absolutely slaps. I like that it's called Baller. I appreciate that they acknowledge that ball is life, and go Wolves. Sam, what do you think?
I'm in a very, very similar boat. This is near my top five, like there or thereabouts. Again, I haven't done my ranker in a little while, but this I crank this up whenever this comes on my playlist. In studio, this is an absolutely spectacular 3 minutes. I actually need to dive into that full album. Like I said, Bittersis, I think it's called, Bittersweet. I need to actually dive into that and see if the rest of their catalog is as good as this. I am a little bit concerned about the live. I know that during the national final, she was feeling under the weather, and as you said, there have been now a couple of situations where there has been laryngitis, and I realize sickness happens. She's a human being, but especially over the course of a Eurovision week or 2 weeks, really, I hope that she and her team around her are just wrapping those vocal cords in bubble wrap, and she's drinking honey tea, and she's doing everything that she needs to do in order to maintain that instrument, because I want to hear this live in a way that does the studio justice. And I hope she keeps, you know, her health, you know, stays away from crazy air conditioning. I don't know. I want this to do well so badly, just for the fact that Germany's fortunes in the contest last year notwithstanding have been so up and down and up and down and up and down. And I want Germany to do well. I really, really do. This is the year that Stefan Raab came back to the competition and says, we're gonna revitalize it. And this is an incredible start. There were a couple of solid songs in their national final. And this makes me so happy. It is modern. It is, I think, just as appropriate on a Eurovision stage once they, you know, up that staging as it would be to a radio setting, as it would be to being in the club, whether Euro club or outside of the Euro club, like an actual club setting. I love it. I absolutely love it. And kudos for them for embracing the German language again. I absolutely love this. Derek? Oh, I'm sorry. Eric, did you have something?
Oh, I will just interject with one thing. I have listened to some of that album, Bittersweet, mm-hmm. And can confirm it is excellent. Not as all quite so intense and upbeat either. There's some more chill, like electronic sort of a stuff too. These guys are great. So definitely check that out. Sam and everyone else, even Derek, who will now opine about this.
I don't know what you guys are on. I mean, this is clearly, yeah, it's a great song. I love it. Okay. No, I think it's really, really cool. I thought their live performance at the German National Final was actually quite good for the most part. I mean, I know they're working on stuff and getting better. It's hard for me to come in at the end here nearly and say anything new, but one of the things I wanted to note was if you listen to the studio version, it just kind of jumps in and then ends abruptly. And I noticed in their live performance, they had added a bit of a lead in to kind of get you into the song before they really hit the gas on it. And I really liked that. And I would kind of like to see something at the end so it just doesn't end quite so abruptly, something to kind of like lead out. I think the song is a bit shorter than 3 minutes. It's like 240 or 245. So they have a bit of space to kind of bookend it a bit so it's not so jarring jumping in and out of it. But overall, like the whole time it's playing, I really like the energy. I really like the chorus, the way she kind of hits that phoneme, I guess, before moving on. I thought that was a really interesting technique. And it's not just her going la 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 la. It's just kind of repeating that sound before completing the word, I guess. It's really cool to hear German again. You sort of forget that it can sound good in music. Because it's sort of a not romance language.
It can be so abrasive.
Yeah, but in this kind of song, it sounds so cool. It really works. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It really works in this context. I think they really did a good job of explaining that and, you know, kind of going back to their roots and like, we're doing German now. I'm hoping, I feel like last year was the first time Germany got a result that it kind of deserved after years of coming near the bottom for some reason with actually legitimately good songs. I'm really hoping this will do even better than that. I mean, I'm really hoping this is like a top 10 at least. I think it's fantastic. And I'm hoping they can, you know, health issues aside, really pull it together on the night. They have a few weeks, so I think they'll be okay. But, you know, there's a lot goes into the performance beyond just the one night. So take care of yourselves, mm-hmm. Danny.
I think this is the first year that all five of the auto qualifiers are, in my opinion, perfectly deserving to go through to the final. And I mean, we can say what we want about France sending another emotional ballad to really tug on the heartstrings. But I think Germany after that is really the most deserving. I think this comes from this is not jumping onto any trend whatsoever, not hoping to have a current trend in music sort of buoy their chances. Really cool to send a very authentic sounding German rave song. Like they sent a house song. Germany sent a house song to Eurovision. It's really fantastic. This has been really high for me basically since it came out. My opinion on it has not flagged in the slightest. I think it's really cool that they're doing this kind of vocal sampling-ish thing, just in terms of like how they're going to recreate that live. Like how did we do it with Israel in 2018? Like because there was some sort of live on stage sampling in that case, right? How did we get around that rule?
I don't think they did.
It wasn't live sampling. It wasn't. I mean the I'm not sure what the mechanism is called, but that was.
Yeah. How did?
I can't remember if it was just part of the backing track. I mean, nowadays, when you can have backing vocals on your backing track, it might not necessarily be as big of a thing.
But this is unlike Toy. Like, this is front and center. Like, it's the start of the chorus and it's just her singing. Like, I am curious about that, but I have faith that they'll do something.
I mean, could you have potentially a synthesizer, like an actual, but that sounds and mimics the human voice? Like, that could
perhaps
be?
Perhaps, yeah.
I don't know.
Have we done, especially since it's like, it is the exact tone. It's not like, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, could they throw like a vocoder on it, even like a
able to legally do that at the contest?
After Grab the Moment, Joust and Alexander Wallman, that would have been what, 2017 from Norway,
I think so.
And they had that sort of on stage immediate effect that I'm not sure if the EBU has tamped down on that since, but
yeah,
I don't know. I'm sure the German delegation have been aware of what the regulation is.
If they're allowed to do that, I think that would be a reasonable thing to look into. Not like full on auto tune or anything like that, but a vocoder just to add a little bit of that electro edge to it, I think would do well for the song if they're allowed to. And I really don't know.
Yeah, I think you guys have sung my praises of this song. It's a great party jam. Just I'll close with two things. One is that I hope that her standing in front of an enormous screen that just says baller on it becomes a great reaction picture. I really, really want that to become a meme. That'll be great. And number two, their recap clip absolutely 100% has to be her smashing the cello and lighting the amp on fire. That has to do it. It's such a fun, cool moment. And it's right before the last little bit of chorus hits again. That would be fantastic. That would be great.
What
fantastic to end all of our previews on is Germany. Is baller from Germany. Good choice this year.
Who would have thought?
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for
all
them.
Right. If we've all said our piece, then we'll have our little wrap-up questions here. We like to end things, Krista, with a low and a high. So we'll go around. What was your least favorite of this episode? And just as a reminder, we talked about San Marino, Greece, Spain, Azerbaijan, Serbia, and of course Germany. What was your least favorite of today?
I'm sorry, Serbia. you were not my favorite today. My favorite then is
we'll come back to that. We like to end on a universal.
Oh yeah, I know. That's good.
It's all good. Eric, what about you?
Oh gosh, so many to choose from. Serbia. It's just Serbia. Sorry,
I hate to dogpile on him because, again, he seems like a perfectly decent person, I suppose. It's Serbia. Derek?
Yeah, Serbia. Sorry.
And Danny?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's Serbia. Say for the record, Poison Cake is miles worse this week at Serbia.
Fair enough.
Congratulations.
You already
duly noted. Duly noted. All right, let's end this on a high. Krista, what was your number one top favorite of the week?
Ooh, this is difficult. Because there were a few good ones that I really, really like.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is difficult. Oh, I love Germany. Oh, I like tutta Italia. Oh, but I think I'm going to go for Woman Power and Spain. Esa diva.
All right, one for Spain. Eric, what about you?
It's Azerbaijan. But yeah, I said what I said.
Coming into this episode, I was like, all right, is it gonna be Greece or is it gonna be Germany? And like, I was shocked that Greece is even part of the conversation for me. But I'm not sure if it's just the fact that it's morning time here and I need that kick of adrenaline. It's gonna be Germany today. However, I need to give props to Greece for breaking my heart and sewing it back together a little bit. It's Germany. Derek.
Honestly, besides Serbia, a lot of great songs this year or this week. And this year. I'm gonna go with Germany. I think it's fantastic. I get excited every time it comes on.
And Danny, take us home.
I had to pull up my sorter because there are three songs this week that are in my top 10 solidly. I'm just gonna go off of what my sorter did last, just so I could be a little bit more objective, and it is by a hair, I'll say, Azerbaijan.
All right. Oh. Nice wide variety. And this is what we're here for. Like I keep saying, if we all like the same stuff, then this contest would be incredibly boring and songs would win every year by 8,000 points. But we, of course, know that's not how the show works. That's not how the contest works. Krista, thank you so, so, so much for joining us today with a million things. What do you have in the pipeline? What are you working on? What would you like to plug?
Oh, no, right now I'm just in the Eurovision mood. So I will also go to Basel and watch the final. Yes. So I'm really excited for that.
Excellent, excellent. And if people wanted to follow your adventures and see what you're up to, what's the best place for them to do so?
Oh, yeah, then they have to check me out on Instagram. And my name there is Krista Siegfried. So you'll find me there, follow me there, and I will take you around in Basel.
Fabulous. We'll take you up on that. All right. Again, you at home, let us know what you thought. If you thought we were completely insane, completely off the mark, let us know. 12pointsUSA on basically all the social media outlets you can think of, or just email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. We will be back next week with our wrap up, what we think, what our patrons think. And yeah, I suppose we will reconvene next week. But until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Danny.
And I am Krista.
And America.
Stop listening now.
Danny, it looks like you're going to be starting us off here. He's stewing. He's looking with that devilish grin of his. He's got thoughts. All right. I'll take us back.